Looking forward to this Christmas season together. As we do that, I know it's a little cliche, but we're going to go to Isaiah 9. I mean, that's the prophetic word. We love prophecy here, right? Encouragement to keep you moving forward so you know where you're heading. Back in Isaiah 9, we get this warning, but also this awesome prophetic word regarding the birth of Jesus. Now, within this prophecy, Isaiah assigns four names to Jesus. Four names. We're going to start this morning with the name Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Isn't he, though? We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. You see, the reality is we live in a world full of counselors, right? You probably received counsel this morning, right? Anybody here get some advice from people? This is what you need to do, you know, right? No? Okay, well, Mystique and I get lots of advice every Sunday morning. It's wonderful. Lots of things I'm supposed to do and need to do differently, right? You know? There are countless counselors out there, though. People are quick, very quick in our culture to give you their opinion of what you should do and how you should live and how you should act, right? They're very quick with their opinions. They don't hide them whatsoever. Whether you ask for it or not, they advise you. They counsel you. There are countless self-help books out there, right? So you've got Dr. Phil, right? Everybody loved Dr. Phil, you know, people that he's helped. I mean, I thought that was a cool. Anyways, I made that. I was proud of myself. There's countless resources out there for counsel, for advice, for wisdom. And with all this counsel and advice, though, you would think, especially here in America, that we would be, generally speaking, physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy people, right? No. In fact, I don't know if you've found this from personal experience. You know, I've got some family that they go and seek counsel for everything all the time. And they seem to be the most unhealthy and unstable people out there, despite all the counsel and advice that they get, right? It happens, right? It does. So what we want to talk about this morning, because not all counsel is good, not all advisors are trustworthy, right? We want to talk about getting good, healthy counseling, good, healthy advice, stuff that will actually work. You know, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Of course, you already know where we're heading. I mean, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. You know, I'm not speaking against any other form of counseling. We do counseling, but I mean, we're not getting counsel we have before. You know, I mean, whatever, it's healthy. But the counsel needs to come ultimately from Jesus. It needs to be His word and in agreement with Him and His ways. A quick glance at our culture and you'll quickly see, with all this advice, however, just how broken and unhealthy we are. We really are a broken people. And you see it especially this time of the year. Just broken people. It is a dark season and it's supposed to be one of the most exciting, joy-filled seasons of all. But for most people, it is just a really dark one and a challenging one and a difficult one. Families are so broken and divided and it's not the way God desires it to be. The crazy part is it's not that people are even rejecting counsel. Sometimes we think, well, you know, because you probably gave someone advice and they didn't take it, right? And you're like, well, yeah, what did you think was going to happen? Didn't I tell you about this? Right? The old I told you so. Right? We all love those moments. It's not even that people aren't taking counsel. They are. There are people out there that are trying desperately to improve their lives and to find healing and to find wholeness. They want it desperately, and they're doing exactly what the counselors are doing. And they're taking the meds that they're telling them to take, and yet things aren't getting better. Things are just progressively getting worse. They still find themselves broken. Although, I got to be honest, anybody ever get bad advice? Yeah, how about some of this advice here?
Now I thought I'd share some of my favorite worst advice ever stories from you guys. Here we go. This first one's from Matt Roey Custard. She says, I dropped my brand new phone in the water. My dad said, just put it in the microwave for a few seconds. I had to buy a new phone. He had to buy a new microwave. Yeah, that's not good. This one's from at Mr. Pib for Life. He says, I once drank a beer bong full of Jägermeister while sitting in a hot tub because my buddy said, you can't get drunk at sea level. Well, that's bad advice.
That's false.
That's not true. You know it's not
the
true.
The Navy should know that.
This one's from at Kinky Turtle. She says, the guy at the hardware store told my friend that turpentine would remove paint from her hair. It did. It also removed her hair.
What are you crying about?
The paint's gone.
Technically, it worked. This one's from at Danny Kingsley.
Ooh, rather.
Yes, rather.
Where's he from?
Good day to you, sir.
Danny Kingsley.
Danny Kingsley. I don't know if that's how he talks, but Danny Kingsley. He says, my dad told me to always fry bacon shirtless so you never get grease stains.
3rd-degree burns all over his stomach.
Freckles?
No, they're not freckles. They're scars. They're grease scars. That's bad.
Turpentine will get those out, man.
Thanks for the advice. You know my doctor, yeah, Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, he This one's from at Canadian Linz. She said I was going for a job interview, and my brother told me to maintain constant eye contact with the interviewer and never blink. Tell me about Casual Friday. I'm really excited to work here. I'm a people person. This one's from at Tonio71. He says, when my wife said, don't get me anything for my birthday, my friend told me not to get her anything to prove that I'm a good listener. No. That is bad advice. That is bad advice, dude. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, there's a whole whirlwind of advice out there, and not all of it's good, right? You never thought you'd be watching Jimmy Fallon in church, sorry. Is what it is. A whole whirlwind of counsel all around, always telling you what to do. There's some good advice out there. There's a whole lot of bad advice out there. Might sound good at the time, but it's just not good advice. What we desperately need is a word of counsel from the wonderful counselor, Jesus, right? Now, granted, I'm going to give you a preface here. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, right? The scriptures tell us that. We're going to talk about it. But we have so many voices speaking into our lives, so many. You don't even realize the voices that are speaking into your life sometimes. You know, it happens everywhere you go. There's advice everywhere. But not all advice is sound advice. Not all wisdom is good. Not everything that you hear has your best interests in mind. Not everyone is out there seeking after God's will for your life, right? I mean, let's be honest. Not even those who call themselves Christians, not even those that you go to church with are necessarily hearing from the voice of the Lord, right? Some people have some pretty fleshly opinions, and they'll tell you all about them. But you can even use scripture to back it up, right? So what we desperately need is a word from the good counselor, the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ himself. Of course, Proverbs 15:22 tell us that the plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. If you want to be successful in life, you can't be a lone ranger. You need voices. You need to hear people. You need, yes, guys, you need your wife. You need your spouse, right? You know, how many times did I told you so actually apply there, right? It's good. It's good to have many advisors. We often fail in life simply because we live life our own way, by our own opinions, by doing what we feel is right, right? That's how we live our lives, and so often we fail because of that. After all, we don't necessarily know what's best, as much as my flesh tells me I do, and I'm right and everyone else is wrong, and I'm smart and they're stupid, right? That's not necessarily the truth, not necessarily reality, right? We often lose our battles. Think about this. We often lose our battles simply because we quietly fight them alone. Think about this with your spiritual battles. Proverbs 20:18 says this, plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. Guess what? There's people, even in this little room with this little group of people, who have fought that battle that you're fighting, and they've already gained the victory over it. They'll tell you all the things not to do, and they'll tell you the things to do. Learn from their failures. Learn from their successes. We often lose our battles simply because we don't seek out advice or counsel. Good advice and good counsel, I guess I should say. Because when everybody does what's right in their own eyes, that happened in the book of Judges. It was chaos. Chaos. The nation failed. When everybody just does what they think is right, chaos, conflict, and calamity, they are sure to be there. They always accompany a group of people who everyone's just going their own way, doing what they think is best. But when everyone cooperates together, looking out for the interests of others and not only to their own interests, when they plan together and they set goals together, something beautiful happens. They start succeeding. They start becoming successful in everything that they do. And there is unity, and there is peace, and there is success, and everybody gets to enjoy it. There's not chaos and calamity and all the, you know, there is peace. Whenever we're seeking after God's will together, and whenever we think of other people's interests above our own. You see, we think we know ourselves, but the reality is that you can't know yourself by yourself. You just can't. God didn't create us that way. The only way you can get to know yourself is through relationship with others. You may think you're a very peaceful person who can handle, you know, other people when they're in fits of rage. You might think you're a peacemaker, and then God gives you toddlers, right? And then you're the one like, like, I need spanked, okay? You know, because I just lost it right now. You can't know yourself by yourself, okay? God will bring people alongside of you. God will bring, I call them sandpaper people into your life. They will rub you the wrong way anytime you're around them. And what I believe God brings those people into your life for is to show you what's in your own heart, okay? Stop blaming them and start dealing with your sin in your life, okay? Because whatever comes out of the mouth, it comes from the heart. And that's what we got to guard. So when those sandpaper people come, I know this sounds bizarre. Praise God for them because God's trying to grow you up a little bit, you know? It's a good thing. And I got to remind myself that. It's a good thing. Many. This is a harsh reality. That's right. Many. This is a quote of Jesus. He taught us this. Many will argue with him on that last day. Can you imagine being that bold? You're standing before the judgment throne and you're arguing with Jesus. But Lord, I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I did this in your name. They thought they were something they weren't. They thought they knew who they were. They thought they were solid Christians. Jesus responds to them simply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoer. We need to know who we truly are. It is so important. You can only know who you are through the counsel and advice of others. You can only know yourself through others. It's an interesting concept in reality because you will deceive yourself every time. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful. We are always right in our own eyes. People very rarely go out there and do what's wrong because they know it's wrong. They can justify it. Even when they know it's wrong, you know? We always do what's right in our own eyes, but that's not always healthy. Our hearts are deceitful. Our understanding, it's corrupt. Our understanding is corrupted by sin and selfishness. We can't even trust our own selves to know what is best for us. No matter how much your flesh tells you to do that, you can't trust yourself. We must give our whole hearts and our entire understanding over to the wonderful counselor, Jesus himself. We need to hand those things over because they are not good on their own. Our hearts, our minds, they will deceive us. Proverbs 3:5, we all know this proverb, right? It tells us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, every bit of it, and lean not into your own understanding. That's everything contradictory what your flesh will tell you to do. It'll say, you're right. That's right, yeah, they deserve that. You should have said that. You know what? You should have spoke up. I don't care what the pastor says. You should have spoke up and you should have told them that, you know? Don't trust in yourself. Don't lean into your own understanding. Just there's something freeing that we did when we were first saved and we forget to do after we're saved. I'm wrong. And you're right, Jesus. I feel like I'm right, but I'm wrong. Just admit it. Confess it. I'm wrong. I was wrong. Forgive me and teach me how to do it right. That's what this proverb's all about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And he will make your path straight. If you want success in life, here it is. This is your proverb. Stop doing what you think is right. Stop doing what you feel like doing. Stop listening to how you're feeling and just start listening for the voice of Jesus. And trust that he'll take care of everything else as you do. When we seek out the counsel of many advisors, we must seek out counselors who is seeking after God's will for your life. Who is seeking after the best interests, the plans and purposes that God has for you. That's the only place where success can be found. That's the most encouraging place, is the plans and the purposes that Jesus has for you. It's listening to his voice. That is where healing is. That is where success can be found. That is where your peace and your joy, all these things that we chase after in the world, they can only be found by the Spirit of God. They are literally fruits of the Spirit. And you'll find them when you lay yourself down and let Jesus raise you back up into new life. They can only be found when you admit, I'm wrong. No matter how right I feel, I'm wrong and he is right. When we give it all to him. And that's where we find ourselves here. In Isaiah, I'm going to turn back just a few verses. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, it says, going to kind of give a preface here. And we're going to read through it together, and then we'll end on that. So we're going to end simply this morning. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, and trust me, it's definitely happening in the world today. I mean, I know all kinds of people that they have, you know, these spiritualist mediums come in, and they do, you know how you do, like, Tupperware parties? You used to do that, like, in the 50s? Now they have, like, these medium parties where you come and they'll tell you, they'll prophesy over you. Like, I'm like, man, the church needs to get on board with this. Come on out. We'll prophesy over you. And guess what? It's going to be right, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be encouraging, and you need a word of knowledge. We'll tell you all about your life. We'll read your mail, you know? I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Yeah, if the demons can knock it off and do it accurately, think about how much more we can do it, you know? Maybe a new ministry for somebody to start up, you know? We'll sell you some Tupperware, and hey, you need a prophetic word? You know, we've got that for you. So when someone tells you to do that, to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and they mutter, shouldn't the people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. There's probably a whole sermon in itself there. This is not something that we don't like being warned, do we? We're a culture that you've seen the memes out there on Facebook, right? You know, the hold my beer things, you know? Yeah, right? I mean, that's the kind of people we are. We don't like to be warned. We just like to do, and to live our lives the way that we feel that they're right, by our own will and our own opinions. God's instruction and the testimony of his warning will keep us on that path to life, that path of freedom, that path of wholeness and healing and peace. Why not consult his instruction? And why not listen to the testimony when it comes in the form of a warning? It says, if anyone doesn't speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. In other words, if someone's trying to like shed light into your life, don't go after somebody who's living in darkness. You know what happens when the blind lead the blind? You both fall into a hole, right? It's in the Bible, by the way. Yeah, I mean, come on. If you really want the light of Christ to be shed in your life and to bring revelation and to bring healing and wholeness, you got to go to him. He is the light. You can't go anywhere else. It says, distressed and hungry, these people, they roam through the land. And when they're famished, they become enraged. They look upward. They curse their king and God. There are all kinds of people cursing, you know, kings and gods right now, right? They look upward at the earth and they see only. This is what these people see when they look around. They look around the earth and they see only distress and darkness. They see only fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. You'll hear all kinds of Christians preaching that too, doom and gloom, right? We need some more fire and brimstone, you know? Everyone's heading straight to hell. Like, well, everybody pretty much generally knows that. I just did a funeral from a guy who, like, that was his closing thing. He's like, heading for hell, and then he dies, you know? What do you say at a funeral like that, by the way? Oh, no, you should have been there. It was actually one of the best ones ever. Anyways, there's something about that. There's something freeing when you don't have to, like, sugarcoat it and make people feel good, right? When the reality's there. What did I do? Here's how you don't end up like this guy, you know? I'm sorry. Don't ask me to, you know, to do your funeral unless you want me to talk about Jesus and salvation. It's just, that's what's going to happen. And their family, trust me, I was honorable about it. I asked them about it. I got permission first. They were fine with it. Everyone's looking at me weird. Maybe I'm just going on and on. Yeah, Becky's like, yeah, get back to the point. Anyways, doom and gloom. Anybody can look around and see that. Turn on Fox News and you'll hear all about it, as much as I love their broadcast. Doom and gloom everywhere, right? Nevertheless, Isaiah 9, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress, right? You don't have to live that way anymore. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of the Naphtali. But in the future, and we're living in the future, right? In the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. You know, the world has enough doom and gloom messages. They see and they sense the darkness that's trying to overcome this world. You don't have to be a spiritual person to discern the darkening that's happening, right? What is that, though? It's an opportunity for us to shine all the brighter. All the brighter. They are ready for some good news. They are ready to hear a good word. They are ready for some encouragement. They are ready for the good news that the blood of Jesus speaks. It speaks a better word, the word of God teaches us. To receive the message of Christmas all year round. To gladly receive the life-transforming message of the gospel. Because what does the world teach and all those self-help books and Dr. Phil, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. What does the gospel say? It's done. It is finished. You just got to trust him. You just got to put your faith in him. Just let him do a work in your life. The Spirit's going to do all that stuff in your life. You just got to let him do it. Like, how good of a message is that? All these counselors telling you all these things that you need to do. And the good news of the gospel says it's finished. Just allow him to do his work in your life. That's good news. That's so encouraging. People are ready for that word. This is the account and the testimony that our lives should be in verse 2. It says, those walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. I know this is prophetic about Jesus' coming, but I believe it was also prophetic about you. You are the light of the world walking around in darkness. People are stumbling. They can't find their way. They're just frustrated and irritated and grumpy. I mean, just listen to some of the conversations around you. Let your light shine for everyone to see. Let people see it. Don't hide it because of what do we do when in our faith? We get ashamed of ourselves and we listen to the voice of the enemy condemning us for our sin. We're ashamed of our sin and our weaknesses and our brokenness. What does Christ want to do? Like crackpots, he wants to shine through those things. Your greatest weakness, he wants to shine through it and show people that he is strong, even when you are weak. Your brokenness, he wants to shine through it so that you can see the healing that he is able to do. He leaves scars, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally for a reason, to remind you not to do that again, but also as a sign of testimony. Hey, how'd you get that? You know, us guys, we love it. You go out hunting, you know, you talk about your battle scars, you know, all these things. That's your testimony, Christian. Tell people the goodness of God through your scars. He wants to show himself faithful and true through those things. Let the light of Christ shine through all those things in your life so that the world around us can see the power of God at work in a person just like them. Because God doesn't envelop us and protect us from all the darkness and the hurt of this world. Your heart is going to get wounded. People are going to hurt you deeply. But you know a healer. You know a restorer. You know one that can take your broken heart and make it new. Jesus, he leaves those scars. He leaves the reminders of his hurt and the pain, not to condemn you or to shame you, but so that you can use it as a testimony to what he can do in a life. Jesus wants to use your life as a testimony of the freedom and the joy that he freely offers to anyone who will receive it. This is what Jesus came and he did. In verse 3, you have enlarged the nation. You've increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. You see how he wants you to be joyful, right? He wants to increase your joy. He wants us to rejoice at him. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that binds them. You have broken the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot that has been used in battle, every garment that was rolled in blood, they're destined for burning. They'll be fuel for the fire. Freedom. True, total, complete freedom. He didn't just take the rod of your oppressor. He demolished it. It's gone. They can't harm you anymore. He's given you the armor of God, right? You know, I don't know if anyone's watching Mandalorian anyways, so I won't go into any of that. That's another message for another time. All these things, they're going to be accomplished in the least expected way. The way that our God works. Never when you expect him or how you expect him to work. He always, man, just for an example, and I know I say this often, but just look through the scriptures at how Jesus healed people. Never the same way twice. Why? Because just have fun with it. Chase after God. Seek after him. Don't make formulas out of things. It's a relationship. Do what he calls you to do. You'll be successful. God said that all these things would be accomplished, not through a mighty king in a worldly sense, but rather through a helpless baby, a weak, helpless child, born to teenagers who weren't even married yet. I mean, you want to talk about God just busting out of your God-shaped boxes, doing things the way you do not expect it. I mean, come on. Teenage pregnancy outside of marriage, just she was a virgin, okay? Yeah, anyways, it's the way God works. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for to us, and I have to quote this in the King James, unto us a child is given, and unto us a child is born, right? You guys have all watched the Charlie Brown Christmas and Linus, he quotes in the King James, it's just how we remember it. A child is born, a child is given, a son, not just any child, but a son is given, the only Son of God. And it says that the government will be on his shoulders. The government on the shoulders of this little baby. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will establish it. He will uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We need some zeal in our lives, don't we? Right? Sorry. Zeal, yeah! How is this a slide behind? We need some excitement. We need some passion, right? Like I think I showed the other day, like whenever people, you're at a restaurant, like you see someone praying or hear someone talking about Jesus, you're like, Jesus, Jesus, I know him! Like, I know him too! It's awesome! Like, you know, you should get excited about these things. And when someone gives their life to the Lord, I mean, come on! If there's rejoicing in heaven, there ought to be some rejoicing down here, right? We need some zeal. It is the zeal of the Lord Almighty that will accomplish all these things. The zeal, the passion. We need his zeal and his passion for the world around us, right? I mean, after all, the long-awaited Savior is here. Christ is born. Our doom and our darkness, it's been overcome by the light and the joy of Jesus. He's alive. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. We seek not counsel from the dead, but from someone who is alive and well. Right? He's risen. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but he's alive. You're getting a counsel from a living God. The only living God. The one and true living God. We seek counsel from someone like no other God. He lived within the confines of this flesh. The God of all the universe, King of kings and Lord of lords, he wrapped himself in flesh, became just like one of us. He was tempted to sin. He was weak. He got tired. Yet he never gave in to sin. Even in this flesh, he overcame every sin and temptation. Why? So that you can do the same. He did it. We seek counsel from the one who has been there and done that. Here are seeking the counsel from one who was right there with you. The one who knows exactly what tomorrow will bring. He was there yesterday. He's there today. He's going to be with you forever. I mean, you can't get better counseling than from the one who knows what tomorrow holds. No counselor on this earth will tell you that, but he knows it. So when he's counseling you, receive it. Take his advice. He knows what tomorrow brings. He knows what 10 years brings. He knows the very kind of hairs in your head. He knows the tears you've cried about this situation. He knows it all. We seek counsel from the one who knows and who understands all things. He is a great high priest who can empathize with us. That's why he's like the perfect intercessor. Because he knows where you're at, because he was there, and yet there he is now, seated at the right hand of God, right? Name above every name. He's both. He's everything. He's everything and everything you need. We seek counsel from the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. In fact, we seek counsel from the one who knew you before you were even conceived. Talk about some good counsel, some good advice. How wonderful he is. We seek counsel from the very author of life, who has a distinct plan and purpose for you. Yes, you're flaky, but he made you that way. There's a good reason for it, right? Let's seek out what that is, right? There's freedom in just being who you're created to be. And of course, I'm not endorsing sin. I'm not talking about your sinful, fleshy self. I'm talking about just those unique things that make you, you. Like how I don't like my food to touch. There is something about organization and structure. I mean, come on. Have you ever been to the seashore? That ocean has a boundary and it stays there. Have you ever seen a hurricane? When it crosses that boundary, it's not good. I feel the same way about my potatoes and my gravy and my corn, okay? I don't want no hurricane on my plate. It's just who I am, okay? So anyways, there is something wonderfully unique about you, though. And God loves that thing about you. You may be embarrassed by it or ashamed of it. Don't be. It's fun. Come on. We seek counsel from the one who holds all things in his hand. Surely he can take your brokenness and deal with it. Surely he can handle that, right? We seek counsel from the very one whose simple word, just a word from our wonderful counselor Jesus, can drive out demons, can send them fleeing. The one who can bring the dead to life with just a word. Come on out, Lazarus, right? The one who drives out every sickness and every disease. Never once was someone brought to Jesus and told, oh, that's just God's will for your life right now. You just need to go deal with that. No! Every sickness, every disease healed in Jesus' name, right? The one who literally created everything from nothing. Do you think he can give you some good advice? Right? Come on now. Do you think he might love you enough? Here's the hard thing. You think he might love you enough to tell you what you don't want to hear because he loves you and wants to see you reach your full potential. You think he might bring people alongside of you to tell you what you don't want to hear for your own good and benefit. But we're so stubborn. We think our ways are right. We do what's right in our own eyes. And we're missing it. Counsel from Jesus. He loves us so much. He not only wants to tell us the difficult things, he wants to encourage us. The Holy Spirit comes to give us encouragement and to also give us conviction. Both. We need both to be healthy. We also serve the wonderful counselor who will listen to us. When you pray, don't be afraid to scream at him and tell him exactly what you think right now. He already knows it. He already knows what's in your heart and in your mind. Be honest with him. But after you're done venting to him, listen to what he has to say. Because his heart breaks as much as your heart is broken in those moments. He understands how you feel, and he just wants to walk with you through that season to your victory. So don't just stick your feet in the mud and say, this is who I am, this is the way I am, and this is always going to be this way. He really loves you and wants to pull you out of your muck and mire and set your feet on a rock. That's what Psalm 40 promises, right? He wants to set your feet on a rock. He wants to give you some solid ground so you can start fighting your battles and win them. You go out hunting and you don't realize that some things are muddy, man. I got that 30-06 that could take down just about anything, but when I'm flopping around in the mud, you know, trying to get my feeding, a bear could come and eat me and I couldn't do a thing about it, you know? I mean, that's what some of us look like in our spiritual battles right now. We're filthy, covered in mud, and we're slipping and sliding. And we grab a hold of a root, and we're like, yeah. And then it gives, and then we're all messed again. But we think we're fighting, right? You're losing. You're not fighting. Get your feet on some solid ground. Get yourself solid. Then you'll win your battles. Then that weapon in your hands, nothing will stop you, right? You'll be able to keep those crosshairs right on that thing. You'll be able to see it coming from, you know, hundreds of yards away, and you will have the victory. Get your feet on some solid ground. Do you think his counsel is valuable enough, though, and worth enough to set aside time to seek after it, to listen to his voice? It is so hard for me just to sit still and listen. I'm a multitasker. I'm always doing five things at the same time. It is so hard for me just to sit there and listen to the voice of Jesus, you know? You know when Jesus speaks to me usually? It's usually when I'm doing other things. I'm just going to be honest. He just knows me. He knows that that's when he's going to get some of my attention. I'm not saying I should be that way. I need to change some things. But think about that. The next time that you think, I don't know. I can't say this necessarily, but the next time you're going to seek counsel from somebody, every time you make an appointment with your counselor, set aside that same period of time, that same week, to get the counsel of Jesus. Just to sit and listen to his voice, to hear what he has to say. Take time to do that. And how do we do that? How do we receive the Lord's counsel? Well, Proverbs says that it cries out to us from everywhere. This is where I'm ending. I didn't know how to end this because I'm like, okay, well, how do you practically get the counsel of God? Well, how do you not get the counsel of God? Literally, Proverbs says that wisdom is crying out from the streets. Everywhere you go, it is crying out everywhere all the time. The counsel of Jesus, this wonderful counselor, he is constantly speaking to you all the time. The key is learning to hear it and recognize it. This is Jesus. This is Steve. This is the enemy. Learning how to receive it and discern it, to actually hear his voice. He has given us the Holy Spirit to be ever present with us, teaching us, speaking to us, guiding us, directing us. And as we learn to listen more carefully to his voice, you'll start seeing the counsel of this wonderful Jesus everywhere. You'll see it in the grass in the field. I mean, literally, it's there crying out. You'll receive all kinds of counsel and advice and like, wow, I never thought about that way before. Yes, you're so good and faithful. But first and foremost, of course, we receive it from his written word. Everything that Jesus is ever going to counsel you to do, it's going to be in agreement with what he's already said and spoken and written. It's going to be in agreement with that. Every form of his counsel, it's going to be in agreement with it. However, Jesus is constantly speaking to us. I know people who can quote from the written word of God better than I can, and yet they make the most foolish decisions. Right? Anybody know anybody? I'm sorry, don't raise your hands, but yeah, you know. It's pointless to know the book if you don't really have a relationship with the author. You're going to misinterpret what he's saying. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the author who wrote those words living within you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to bring those dead words from thousands of years ago to life here and today. His word is alive and active, and it's only alive and active because of the Holy Spirit within you. Right? Listen to his voice. He is constantly communicating for us. In Romans 1, it says that he displays his eternal power, his divine nature. Every invisible quality of God are clearly displayed through his creation. I mean, talk about his counsel crying out to you. That's why I love being out in the woods. Because he's there, and he's speaking, and he's counseling, and he's advising. We receive his counsel from the successes and failures of others. It's far less costly to learn from someone else's mistake, right? I mean, it just is. There's books, there's podcasts, there's conferences. You have friends. Listen to your enemies. Sometimes your best counselor is actually your enemy because they tell you what none of your friends will tell you, right? But they speak truth sometimes. There's advice coming everywhere. Learn to discern the voice of Jesus through it. Jesus can speak even from those who oppose him. I mean, did God not use Pharaoh to set his people free? He used his oppressor. He hardened his heart. He caused them into forced harsh labor so that they would walk into his promises and receive freedom. That's our God. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around it, you know? That's not the way I would do things personally, but hey, his ways are better than mine. His thoughts are better than mine, so we're going to trust in him. But there's, you know, parables, fables, there's counselors out there galore. Jesus can speak through it all. He is constantly pouring out his counsel and his wisdom into our lives. We just need to learn to listen to it and to discern his voice through all of the noise. And as we eagerly and zealously enter into this Christmas season, we remember not just the baby Jesus, but we remember that Jesus is alive and well today. And we remember that prophetic word of Isaiah that he's a wonderful counselor. I mean, he's the best counselor, gives the best advice out there. So listen and obey. It's really that simple. Living a life of faith, living a life of success in the eyes of God, it is that simple. Hear his voice and just follow his lead. Do what he says. You're sure to find success. You're sure to see the power of God move through your life. You're sure to see God do things that you've been trying to do forever, but you finally just threw up your arms of surrender and said, Jesus, I'm yours. And then so many times I've heard this testimony. Jesus is like, finally, thank you. And then he takes care of it. How good is he? Like, it's about time. You know, you just started relying on me, so... All right, let's close in with a word of prayer. And the altars are open here. If you need prayer for something, if you, whatever you may need, I'm not going to list off everything, please come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. We want to listen to God's voice with you. And we just want to see him move in all the ways that he promised to move right here, right now. So Jesus, we thank you for being a wonderful counselor. You know us better than we even know ourselves. You know the very numbers of hair on our head. Jesus, forgive us for being such stubborn sheep sometimes. For hearing your word, for hearing sound counsel, and for choosing to go our own way instead. Forgive us for all those times that we've missed it. And we thank you for forgiving us and for always being ready to pick us up out of our miry muck that we get ourselves into and for setting our feet on solid ground. Jesus, help us to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, fill us to overflowing that we could hear and discern and recognize and obey what you're calling us to do so that we can hear and be encouraged by who you see us to be. Thank you for your voice of truth that pierces the darkness, that lifts up our hearts and our heads, that sets our feet on solid rock, and that gives us the strength that we need, and the joy that accompanies, that inexpressible joy that accompanies us following you. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it all in your name. Amen.